9th chapter, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Now, wait till you get there. We're just going to read the two verses. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity of coming back to the house of God this one more time, this side of eternity. Lord, we thank you that you're on the throne this morning. Thank you, your word is still true. Thank you, Lord, your promises can never be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Thank you for that blessed assurance of your word this morning. Help us stand on your word and love it. And Lord, live by the book. And Father, minister to our hearts by the Spirit through the word today. Help us get a new vision of Jesus and Lord, love him more as a result of this service this morning. Somebody here not saved or not right with thee, walking afar off, may they come back nigh unto thee this morning. Come down this aisle and Lord, humble himself for God. Leave here, Lord, with a new direction. And Lord, somebody not saved, Lord, may they open their heart and leave here a child of God on their way to heaven. Now, Lord, anoint me and Lord, by faith, Lord, I claim your help now as I preach. And may the will of God be done in this service. Bless throughout these grounds, over in our children's churches. Bless over there. And now meet with us as we look into the Word of God together in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, there are hundreds of verses in the Old Testament that predict the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament predicted that he would, or prophesied. I like the word prophesied better than predicted. Prophesied he would be born of a virgin. The Word of God in the Old Testament prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem, one city. And then the Word of God prophesied he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And it prophesied he would suffer and die for us. And then the Word of God prophesied he would be buried in a borrowed tomb. And all of these and many other prophecies concerning Christ have been fulfilled. And to me, this is one of the great proofs that the Bible is the Word of God. Only God could pre-write history. No one else. Now, Jeannie Dixon and some of these fakes, they can hit it right a little bit more than the average person, so they're considered brilliant and gifted. But they miss it more than they hit it. But the Word of God hits it 100% of the time. And only God could do that. Now, here in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, we have one of the great prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, part of these two verses was fulfilled at his first coming, and the rest of it will be fulfilled at his second coming. So let's notice these two verses as I always enjoy the December and starting to preach on the birth of Christ and the prophecies concerning Christ and the virgin birth and the shepherds and the wise men. I enjoy preaching on those Christmas themes. And so this morning, let's look at this prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we see that in verse 6, the first part of verse 6, a prophecy concerning his birth. Notice, for unto us a child is born. This refers to his humanity. Let me say this. Jesus was not eternally human. He was eternally God, but he became incarnation, means he came in flesh at when he came. And so this refers to his humanity. I want to remind you again that Jesus didn't begin now with his birth at Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago. No, he was present with God before the worlds ever began. And he humbled himself and left his Father's glory and came down to this earth and was born of as a little babe born of the virgin. He became man that he might die in our place and in our stead. Unto us a child is born, the humanity of Jesus. And then notice now, the Holy Spirit is very careful to keep his humanity and his deity separated here. But unto us a son is given. That's wonderful. That refers to his deity. A child, a human, the human Jesus, when he took on his humanity, was born. But the Son of God was given when he came into flesh. So the humanity of Jesus began with his birth. But as deity, he was God and was in existence before the dawn of creation. As a man, he was born. But as the Son of God, he was given. For unto us a son is given. Now the prophet Isaiah is saying that God would give up his son and that he would come into this world to be our Savior. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's one of the reasons I'm against the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. They left out only begotten. And I believe they made a wicked, evil, terrible mistake when they left out only begotten. And the Revised Standard Version puts in only son. God gave his only son. Well, did you know that Jesus wasn't God's only son? Well, the angels were called the sons of God. And the Bible says every born-again believer, everyone who has been saved is a son of God. The Word of God says, now are we the sons of God. So if you are saved, you are a son of God. We're sons of God, heirs with joint heirs with Jesus Christ and heirs of everything God has. Now, God created Adam. And then he made Eve out of a rib of Adam. And since Adam and Eve, every person except Jesus Christ who came into this world came through a natural birth with a human father and a human mother. But the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she bare a son conceived of the Holy Ghost. So, therefore, he is God's only begotten son. Now, all Bible-believing scholars put only begotten in John 3:16 because they believe in the virgin birth. So the thing I want to emphasize about for unto us a son is given was Jesus was given as God's son. He was given to the Jews as Messiah, though they rejected him. Most still today rejected him. And he was given to the whole world as a Savior. But this morning, around the world, most people across this globe have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He was given to lost sinners who will receive him. As John 1:11 and 12 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad I'm in that crowd that received him, aren't you? I'm glad I'm one of those who have received and who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then a second thing in these verses. Let's notice the prophecy running through these two verses concerning his reign. The government in verse 6 shall be upon his shoulders. Now this has not been fulfilled at the present time. But when he returns to this earth, all the governments of this world will be controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. I'm looking forward to being here during the millennium with him, aren't you? When he, the Savior, will rule and reign with a rod of iron, then his reign will be prosperous and peaceful. Look down at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. During the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, there will be a worldwide peace and prosperity. No inflation. No erratic stock market up and down. No fuel shortages. No hunger. No labor troubles. No war. The coming kingdom of Christ on this earth will usher in a utopian society that man has always just dreamed about. And then notice also in verse 7, he will reign upon the throne of David. A lot of people don't believe that. I believe Jesus is going to come and sit literally on King David's throne in Jerusalem. Some people say, well, that doesn't mean a literal throne. It's a spiritual throne. But now, folks, David never had a spiritual throne. The only throne David had was a literal throne. And Jesus is, some people say, well, I believe he's sitting on the throne now. No, he's at the right hand of the throne of God now. And in Luke 1:32, the angel Gabriel said, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. One day I believe Jesus will sit in the flesh. In the flesh we'll see Jesus come down to this earth and rule this whole world from King David's throne in Jerusalem. Isn't that a glorious prospect? And that's the Christmas message. They talk about peace. A lot of people talking about peace, peace. The Christmas message is he's coming one day and the government is going to be on his shoulders and he'll rule and reign across this earth. Then his reign will be a righteous reign. Look at verse 7. To establish it with justice and judgment. There's not much real justice and fair play in this old world today. But brother, when King Jesus comes to reign, all the crooked places are going to be made straight. As a song said, the earth shall be full of his knowledge and glory as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Then notice in verse 6, this great prophecy concerning his name. Here in this verse, there are some great names or titles that have been attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you like that first one? Wonderful. They're talking about my Jesus there. That certainly fits. Now, we say that person is wonderful or this person's wonderful, and some of these boys, they'll get that little girl on their mind, and oh, she's so wonderful, until he gets married. And it takes him about 6 months to realize it. How wrong I was. But you know, nurse people certainly have wonderful traits, but nobody could be wonderful in every aspect of their life. Jesus is the only one. He epitomizes the word wonderful. Certainly this word describes the Lord Jesus Christ, the most wonderful person who ever lived. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Every saved person this morning, every born-again person this morning can say, he's a wonderful Savior to me. As a little chorus goes, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. How's it go? Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my, what? Redeemer. Praise His name. So I'm glad that the Holy Spirit led Isaiah to call Him Wonderful, aren't you? What a wonderful title to my Savior. And then also He's much more. Let's look at these other titles just briefly here. He is also Counselor. He's a wonderful Counselor. He came to be our constant companion and to reveal God's will to us. And folks, we do well to let Him guide us and direct us and be our Counselor. We need His guidance in life. We make a mess out of things when we try to run our own life and do our own thing. And we need to look to Him for guidance and let Him be our Counselor. He'll lead us in the ways that we ought to go if we'll just let Him lead our lives and just turn the reins of our lives over to Him. Hey, why don't you turn the reins of your life over to Jesus? He can do a better job with your life and my life than you can and I can. We ought to turn the reins of our lives over to the Mighty Counselor. And then notice another name, the Mighty God. Now, the unbelieving heart might have a little trouble with this right here. Folks, don't everybody leave me here this morning. I'm not going to take up a second offering here, so they might have to leave. The Mighty God. Some people say, well, how can He be God and the Son of God too? Well, I don't. If I could answer that to everybody's satisfaction, I'd be the smartest person to ever come down the pike. But let me say this. He's God and the Son of God. Well, listen. Put this in your pipe and smoke it. I'm Lashley and the son of a Lashley. So what are you going to do about that? A lot of people don't believe that He can be God and the Son of God. And my father and I are both Lashleys. My father's in heaven. He's still a Lashley, though. So Jesus was God and the Son of God. I don't fully understand it. But I believe, and I want everybody to know here this morning, young people, never let this, never get away from this. Jesus was God come in the flesh. Why? Because the Bible says He was. That's all I need to know. The Bible says He was. And I believe He was God come in the flesh to die for the sins of mankind and bring us back to God. There's only one way you can get back to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a bridge. He's a bridge. His body bridges the way between sinful man and a holy God. Then He's the everlasting Father. The Father and the Son are two persons, yet one. It's a great mystery. And all the characteristics that belong to God belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the one of the main duties of a father? It's to provide for his children. And listen, a father that doesn't provide for his children is a sorry person. Dads, it's your responsibility to provide for your children. And that doesn't mean that you have to give them everything they want. But it's our responsibility as fathers to provide for our children. And you know what? That's just what Jesus is able to do for His children, isn't it? He will supply all our needs. Now, not all of our wants, but He'll supply all of our needs when we look to Him. As the song says, He's all I need. And really, you know what your greatest need is today? Your greatest need is just Jesus. And if you have Him, you have everything. That's done. If you have Jesus, you have everything. What more do you need than Jesus this morning? Huh? Well, He's promised to supply all your needs. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And then one other title here in verse 6. the Prince of Peace. And certainly he is. He's not the Prince of Peace now. He is the coming Prince of Peace. We find in Revelation, the 19th chapter, one day Jesus is going to come back from heaven, come back to this earth, and destroy the forces of the Antichrist and set up his kingdom on this earth, and he will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All I can say down in my heart is, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I almost say, well, Lord, if you're going to come back, just come on back today. Before I get down, I have to go down there and preach before 6,500 people this week ever morning at 10 o'clock. This would be a good time for the Lord to come back. Now the Lord's able. The Lord's able. And I'm going to go down to Bob Jones this week and I'm just going to preach Jesus. I'm going to preach just like I do here. If they don't like it, they don't have to ask me back anymore. I'm going to tell them you need to get born again and need to live for Jesus. And God will bless you if you live, right? That's all I know to preach. And if that's not good enough, I don't have any other message. By the way, on this matter of prophesying the coming of the Lord, how many of you saw and read the articles this week on the Pope and Gorbachev meeting in the Vatican? Folks, that's a great event. That was a historical event. And here Gorbachev, and now that's not a woman, that's the Pope right there. Got a dress on, but he might have it. Reckon the Pope's got earrings on. He might have one, mightn't he? But anyway, that's a historical event right there. And they're under, here is Gorbachev talking under the picture in the Vatican of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? And the walls are breaking down and falling down across Europe, between East and Western Europe. The Berlin Wall's fallen. They're talking peace. They're talking freedom. They're talking getting hooked in with the Western market economy and all like that. Talking about cutting our military might and East and West and all that. But folks, don't get your hopes up too high. This, if I understand God's prophetical word right, that's only temporary. That's only temporary. Right there. Because the Antichrist is going to come in through a policy just like you see right here. He's going to come in, we know, with a program of peace and bring peace to this troubled world. And then when he gets to be a world dictator, he's going to take peace from this earth. And this fellow sitting right here, he's going to have a great power right in the first part of the tribulation. I believe the world's religions will come and unite into the whore church headed up by the church at Rome. And then the Antichrist is going to destroy the whore church and be a world dictator. And Mr. and Gorbachev, we know, and the communist hordes and the Arab world, they'll in the tribulation, there will be no peace between the Pope and Western Europe and America in the tribulation period, because the communist hordes and the Arab hordes are going to invade the land of Palestine. So this, I don't know how long this will last, but it's only temporary, or I don't understand prophetical truth right. And then the Gorbachev's troops are going to come down into the land of Palestine in the middle of the tribulation, and nobody in this world will stand for the Jew, but God will rain fire and brimstone down out of heaven and take care of the Jews and Mr. Gorbachev in the tribulation period. They're over now in the Mediterranean Sea. They just completed their search for a formula for peace. But we'll never find the right formula for a just and lasting peace until the Prince of Peace comes back to this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and comes to reign and put down rebellion. And then there will be 1,000 years of peace on this earth under His reign. I like the song that says, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth His successive journeys run. That means everywhere. The sun, His successive journeys runs everywhere, and so will Jesus reign. Jesus will bring peace to this troubled world when He comes as the Prince of Peace to sit on King David's throne there in Jerusalem. But the wonderful thing about it, folks, there may be no peace in this world, but you know, Jesus can bring peace right into our hearts and lives today. If a person will let Jesus come into their heart and sit on the throne room of their heart and life, they can have peace. The Bible says He is our peace. So if you're unsaved this morning, right now, if you'd walk down this aisle and get on your knees and invite Jesus into your heart, and you can know what real peace is. Let Him reign in your heart this morning as the Prince of Peace. As the song says, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I believe around America and across the world, God's people, when they see that, you know what they're looking for? The soon return of Christ. The soon return of Christ. Snatch us out, and then the world will have a false lull of peace for just a few months, and then be thrown into the terrible tribulation period. I believe these things point to the soon return of Christ in the air. If Jesus would come back today, would you be called out to meet in the air, or would you be left behind to undergo terrible tribulation on this earth? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. How many can say this morning, preacher, if the Lord would come back this morning, I'm glad I can say that I have opened my heart to Him. I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm glad I can say I'd be caught up if Jesus would come back this morning, because I am a Christian. I'm a child of God. I received Him. I believed on Him as my own Lord and Savior. How many can say that this morning? Preacher, I am saved. If Jesus come back, I have that blessed assurance. I'd go to meet Him. Just raise your hand up high for just a moment and then put it back down. Okay. Put your hands back down. Most of you can say that, and that's wonderful. Some of you couldn't. A few couldn't. And I want you to know, friend, that the Lord loves you. More than anybody in this world, Jesus loves you, and He cares for you. He sees you right where you are in your circumstances, and He's able to help you right where you are. I guarantee nobody else in this world can help you, but Jesus can. And it starts when you get saved, when you open your heart, receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Take Him as your Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and take Him as your Savior. And then He can bring peace. That doesn't mean all your troubles will vanish, but He'll help you with your problems. If you've never received Him, you ought to do it today. Or if you have been saved, you're following afar off, you ought to rededicate your life to Christ. Whatever it is there a need this morning, spiritual need? Say, preacher, I'd really like to know Jesus. I'd like to know Him in a real way. Pray for me all over the house. Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand right up. Just lift your hand. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Just lift your hand right up and I'll pray for you. This closing word of prayer. Just slip your hand right up, put it right back down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Is there some Christian here who wants to say, preacher, I am saved, but I've drifted, and I've lost that preciousness of the presence of Christ in my life. I'm falling afar off. Pray for me. Is there some Christian like that? I need to rededicate my life. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Whatever need, God's speaking to you today. Maybe you have been saved and you need to come forward and make it public, or you need to be baptized, need to join the church. Say, preacher, pray for me about this decision I need to make. Pray for me. Whatever the need is. Anyone else, right? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? This morning, God spoke into your heart. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, let the Lord have his way in your life. Let the Lord have his way. He wants to do you good and not bad. He wants to help you. Just give him a chance. Anyone else? Lift your hand right up. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for that Jesus did come, and that one day he's coming again to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, he's the Savior now. Lord, we know in that day he'll come to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and come as judge. And Father, I pray now for every hand that was raised. Some of them need to be saved. Some of them need to rededicate their life. Or some of these, Lord, have been saved, need to come make it public and follow the Lord in baptism. And Lord, maybe some Christians need to come and rededicate their life and put everything on the altar for Jesus and get on fire for him. Have your way now, this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. What number? 270. Let's stand and sing. You who raised your hand, if you need to be saved or want to rededicate your life, or if you want to come, you've been saved, you need to come and make it public, or if you want to join the church or be baptized, whatever you need to do, you ought to obey the Lord right now. You who raised your hand for prayer, won't you slip out now and come down. Meet me right here. Just as we start singing, come right on out. And we'll meet you right here. We'll pray with you and help you. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst become to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to thee who thought and cleanses blood, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and eyes closed. Play a little softly, please. Two or three other hands raised for prayer. Back here, won't you come? A hand was raised back there. If you need to come, come on. Over here. Hand was raised over here. Or if you didn't raise your hand, you say, preacher, I don't want to leave here with my heavy burden today. Why don't you come and cast that burden on the Lord? That problem's about to overwhelm you. Why don't you come and turn it over to the Lord? And load of guilt, why don't you come and get cleansing? You can if you'll come to Jesus. He'll cleanse you, set you free, deliver you. If you don't have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, won't you come and get that thing taken care of? I'm going to have with heads bowed and eyes closed, choir, would you sing? a verse for us, please. Come on, as we sing. Right up. Let the Lord have His way in your life. You'll never regret. Come on, sir. Come on, man. Young person. Just a moment, please.